NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Banter Podcast. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss free agency, right? The sign-in trades, the extensions, all the different moves that have been done over the last week or so, a little bit more than that. You know, we had a ton of players extend or sign back. Kawhi, there was some wonder what he would do. He's been on the move here, you know, obviously from San Antonio to Toronto, Toronto to LA. But with that injury, that does kind of line up in the success they had, quite frankly, in the playoffs as well. So Kawhi's back, Durant extends, Butler extends, Curry extends, Trae Young signs a max deal, CP3 opts out. People are like, what is he doing? How could you turn down $44 million? Well, he just got a brand new four-year deal. That's how that works. Miami's made some moves. We're going to talk about the Lakers bringing in Russ and role players. Chicago is making a move. They're saying, you know what? We're going to make the play-in, damn it. We're going to make the play-in. No, they better make at least the play-in. So, yeah, there's a variety of things that we will talk about on today's show. It's been a while since we've done an NBA. It's usually NBA playoff banter podcast, but obviously the playoffs are over. The Bucks are champions. So, yeah, we'll get into this in just a second. You know, a lot of people are wondering, will Russ Westbrook fit in, you know, in Lakerland? Like I said, I like Kyle Lowry and some other moves that they made there for the Heat. Ben Simmons is still a member of the 76ers. So, yeah, there's a variety of items that we're going to get to on this show. But if this is the first time you're listening to the NBA Banter Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open and download the show directly there or listen to it in the browser if you don't want. You can find this basketball show under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. By the way, that name's going to change for a third time. Okay, it hasn't changed officially, but it's kind of funny. The plans start as low as $69.99 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. The cloud DVR is available. And if you sign up for the choice package or above, you get a free year of HBO Max. That's AT&T TV. I think it's going to be DirecTV Stream. I think that's what it's going to be called. But it's not called that yet, okay? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see how he's doing. You know, we'll get to the Lakers stuff in a little bit. You know, everybody wants to talk about LeBron. Bad or good. And obviously LeBron at the Lakers is like times 100 on steroids when it comes to the media. So we will get into that Westbrook and all that good stuff. But there's a variety of things that we want to cover before we get there. But first and foremost, how are you doing, Marshall? How's your summer going? I know school's right around the corner for you.
Yeah, summer's about to come to an end, which is okay. I mean, I definitely enjoy my summer off, but it gets the point where a little bit where you start to eventually like walk around the house a little bit because I've went on vacation, saw friends, like I've been golfing, like I've achieved all my summer goals. And now you start to walk around the house, you're like, well, I can either spend a lot more money or I should probably go back to work and have a little bit of routine again. So I'm not complaining, but it gets to the point where I'm like, ah, I can go back to teach kids. And about 2 weeks later, I'm like, ah, I miss my summer. So you go back and forth, but so be it. But I live in Texas where it's nice weather. So yeah, life is pretty nice for now. Can't complain.
That's good. That's good. Sometimes it's nice where it's just, you know, just routine and all that. Go ahead. You're going to say something else?
But yeah, well, so, and there's always kind of been this, I would say, perception that the NFL always does a good job of kind of staying in the media throughout a whole calendar year for a sport, whether, you know, it's playoffs, Super Bowl, and then, you know, draft. But the NBA really, I mean, if you look at kind of how they've made a calendar structure, Chris, they've done a pretty good job nowadays of having playoffs to offseason to free agency to the draft. Like they, I would say they've probably done maybe a little bit of a better job in the NFL. Now I know that the calendar has been a little bit different with COVID, but just for always kind of being in the news just a little bit, like the NBA has done a good job now of kind of, okay, like here's a new topic to discuss, and here's something new and going on in the basketball world. Like, you feel that their social media, and for the most part, something I was good, has kind of been like, okay, well, it's not so much, okay, here's the finals, the year's over. It's okay, finals. And you start looking at who's going to get drafted. And now you got free agency news, which seems to be occurring quite often now in the NBA with so many big name players always considering to leave or get repaid. So it's just kind of, I guess you could say, good for the sport. Like, it may be this increases more fans or gets more people involved, or this could help out with, you know, different financial reasons for whatever. But I feel like the sport's done a good job of just kind of keeping their fans in the loop and providing more attention, which by no means hurts anyone really involved in the whole picture.
It's funny because ever since basically right around this time last year, which is kind of flips me out too, is when, you know, the playoffs or the bubble, the 10 game bubble, began and the playoffs started kicking in and whatnot, and it just really has been nonstop since then all the way through the year. Of course, you know, extending well into July was the finals, but yeah, you're right. And it's funny because you look back maybe a year ago or a little bit longer, thinking that this free agency in 2021 was going to be huge. You had like Giannis and Braun and Paul George and Gobert and all these names, but they ended up extending. So you were kind of left with Lowry and Leonard and Chris Paul because he opted out. And so it did, I'm sure those clubs like it, but it did kind of calm down the just straight up, okay, this person, you know, is taking four different trips to four different facilities. He was whining, dining over here. It looks like he's going to sign there. He got on the jet, so he's not going to sign there. That week drama of back and forth, we didn't really have as much this year at all, really. So, like I said, I'm sure those clubs are loving it. You know, obviously, you know, the deal isn't done yet. They're new television deal, but that will obviously increase the cap majorly. I think a lot of the player movement has happened for quite some time. A lot of people harken back to the 80s where there was like five good teams and that's it. And they just stayed on those teams like the Lakers and the Celtics and whatnot. But, you know, I also think it's funny because, you know, the teams, Marshall, didn't want these 7-year contracts anymore. You know, but now they're kind of pissed, or GMs are anyway, because they're the ones that got to keep their jobs, right? At the 3-year and the 1-1s, the 2-2s. And I think people kind of, it's like, well, which one do you want? Do you want the star player to keep maneuvering his money so it can either help or make him more money? The combination of that, like even Paul, you know, wonder if you make a little less per year, but you get a couple years on the back end to extend rather than just one big 44 in 1 year. So it kind of it's pros and cons to it. Because like I said, they're the ones who stressed, and I mean the ownership, who stressed they didn't want these 7-year deals anymore, you know. But now they're pissed at the 1-1s and the 2- and 3-year deals. So it's like you can't win for losing. But yeah, just extending right away. A lot of this stuff is really the only one that I wouldn't say surprising, but the only one that I was wondering what would he do was Kawhi. I mentioned Durant. I mentioned Jimmy Butler, Curry, CP3. We had some max deals like Trae Young, well-deserved there, obviously. I think it's smart for Kawhi before we get into Chicago and Miami and Kemba Walker, how will he fit with the Knicks? Kind of interesting there. You know, Kawhi, I think it's really smart of him. One, you know, to me, they had a pretty damn good year, all things considered. They got to the sixth game with the Suns, and they didn't have Kawhi play a minute, not even a second. So I think, why not come back, right? Doesn't mean you got to sign a five-year deal. There's no six-year deals, but you know what I'm saying. But also, when you tear whatever CL it was, I think it was the MCL, but ACL, MCL, whatever, they're going to probably baby that coming back. And do you want to go to a new team? And what kind of long-term – I don't know. It's a little funky, but all things considered, and also just looking at it from a fan's perspective of having the Clippers back, you know, with their core at least, and a lot of players that have a lot of experience together, that was really the only thing that really stood out to me as far as a free agent. But it makes a lot of sense for Kawhi to come back, Marshall.
Yeah, I'd heard, like, at least from my little grapevine of friends, that, like,
he was going to sign and trade with the Timberwolves? Oh, no, sorry, my bad.
My friends didn't tell me that one. That's unfortunate. Could have went straight really nice up for
Rubio,
you.
But they didn't want it.
That's I'm a little curious about that. But the one I'd heard was he maybe go to Miami, which if he had joined forces in Miami, that would have been a hell of a – you put Kawhi and Butler on the same team, good luck. I mean, fuck, that would have been something. But, yeah, nonetheless, I mean, he's still a Clipper. I think that the team made some growth. They got rid of the monkey on their back of, oh, they're the Clippers. They always bleep and choke in the playoffs. I mean, I still remember that way they put away the Jazz, which was like – or sorry, had that massive comeback. I mean, you know, so if you're a Clippers fan, like, you got to be somewhat optimistic. I could care less about the team, but if you're a Clippers fan, you're like, shit, we got some progress going, and we did all that without Kawhi. So we got him back, like, okay. And Terrence Mann kind of put on a pretty nice show, you know, so there's pieces. So obviously keeping him was huge. Cause if Kawhi had left, now it's PG and a bunch of role players, which I know they did have a nice playoff run, but that was a kind of spur of the moment. We got hot. They would much rather would have had Kawhi stay there than not. So, yeah, I think that was the Reggie one question
Jackson
mark.
Back too, it sounds like.
Which is nice because him and Mann were kind of the guys who were kind of carrying the ship with Paul George. So, yeah, that if you're a Clippers fan, maybe, again, you got rid of some postseason demons. You got a new head coach. Maybe you are – maybe stepping to that next level of making it to a finals, you know, or something. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting for them. And yeah, for the rest of the league, yeah, I don't think there's any big surprises. I do think the NBA has kind of found their happy level, Chris, of having players stay at big markets or having teams being able to keep, I shouldn't say big markets, but I should say the NBA is probably happy that they're able to keep players with the franchise club that's essentially been with. Because for a while, that was a huge issue in the NBA. And there was all sorts of different discussions and talks. And a lot of times those bargaining deals would even confuse me. But I would listen to lots of podcasts would say, well, they keep going back and forth on, we don't want guys like LeBron to keep leaving places like Cleveland, just to set one example. So how can we make it to where teams can keep their stars? And I think if you look at what's happened, you mentioned a bunch of names right at the start of the show, that appears to be going the right direction. Now, you could maybe say maybe these guys are getting paid too much, or maybe that cuts into the salary cap a little bit, but that continues to go up. So I think from a NBA source of being competitive, and you can view that how you like, but I think with the names you mentioned to start the show and how things are going, I think that we're getting they've found a happy medium to where these guys can get their money, they can get paid, and you don't have people jumping ship. But to counter that a little bit, though, I'll throw it right back to you, is we have come to a time now where players love to team up. But also, we're probably not going to see that happen every year either. It would be kind of silly if every year a different star like jumped ship to join a team. Like, it mathematically and from a team structure doesn't make sense. Like, you would assume the Kawhi, Kyrie, Harden experiment's going to last for a while. And I mean, you know, even KD maybe left Golden State quicker than people thought. But for the most part, I like how the league is, and it's keeping people around. And again, we're going to have our super teams, but you can't have them all the time. So I think this offseason is a success for, I guess, a different couple of ways to view it, Chris.
Yeah, and I think some of that gets overblown, because I actually had a conversation a little while back with someone at my bar, and they were like, they just kept saying, well, was it the players or the GM? You know, well, first of all, like, when they mean like super teams, because I was like, well, look at the 80s, dude. The 80s was full. I mean, Philadelphia, go back and look at their roster at times. They had Moses Malone, Dr. J, and Charles Barkley. Like, obviously, the 86 or 87 Celtics team had seven Hall of Famers on it. You know, now, some of them were vets and kind of like a Westbrook who's not nearly in his prime, but he's on the downside or whatever, but still can ball and still wants to win a chip. And taking a lesser role. But, you know, if you're the Lakers and Celtics, I mean, Magic went to a team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on it, and they had James Worthy as well. So it's funny. When the GM does it, it's great. Well, those players, for the most part, also had to agree to go to the place, too. You know, it's a combination of things. And the super teams haven't just worked out perfectly. And a lot of times they've taken less money to go someplace. So, you know, I think some of this gets overblown. I think we can go back to keeping your young stars, right? Because once you're 10 or 12 years in the league, if you stayed at one team or just even two teams through 13 years, you put in your time. You don't owe anybody anything at that point. KG was with the Timberwolves for a long ass time. And at that point, it's like, hey, he tried. It is what it is. You know, Lillard's going through the same thing right now. It is what it is, and people have to realize that. But I think the young stars, oh, I drafted this player, and I get to keep him. Show me a player that's a young star that didn't sign their max with the team that they got drafted. And the fact that they fixed that a while back to add an extra year that no one could offer them, you know, besides the team that drafted you. Now, you know, like Wiggins, for instance, technically we didn't draft him, but he was still under that rookie contract. So we had those rights, just like we had the rights with Butler. We could give him an extra year. And I remember Cat and Wiggins, locally, the media was like, there's no way both of them will sign their max deals. But when you look at it, it's your first big deal. Of course you're going to sign the goddamn thing. Are you guys crazy? And sure enough, they did. Even in a small market, really it's a medium-sized market when you look at, you know, I think it's 15th in for sports. But it actually is not anywhere near as bad as people think. And, you know, the Nets could win it next year. They didn't win it this year. Miami won 2 out of 4. With that big three. And so, you know, I don't know. They've tried to put big threes together, and sometimes it's like a big two and a damn good three. That kind of feels what the Lakers are right now. I mean, you still put Westbrook as a, you know, in the big three, but you know what I mean? It's going to be a different role. So I think we're in good shape. And we mentioned, as far as the league goes, and, you know, a fan perspective as well, I think the league's in great shape. And, you know, this last year was crucial because the confidence Milwaukee and the Suns in Atlanta and the Knicks and these other teams, and really the Clippers, to be honest with you, if you look at their first year together, they had a damn good year, right? We just talked about them. So I do think the rivalries, the conference finals, both sides when there's eight teams left, I think that'll be crucial. I think it's going to help the ratings. I think it's going to be everything. I'm really liking it. But so yeah, there was really, like you said, there's really no big surprise. I did kind of laugh at the CP3 stuff. People are like, oh my God, how in the world could he turn down that? It's like, well, dude, he just signed a 4-year deal. Okay, on to Chicago. Now, Chicago was wheeling and dealing. There is an investigation in Kyle Lowry, the deal, but a lot of times that's just a fine. I bring that up because Lonzo Ball, there's an investigation there too. But like I said, I don't see it going wrong or anything like that. This happens every offseason. But to add Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, you know, Chicago's all in, dude. They're going for it.
Well, I think that LaVine is a player that maybe isn't a household name to, like, the regular average fan, but I think most NBA people, they know the guy. He's a top probably 20 scorer. Like, if you've watched him play on a given night, the guy can drop 30 and make it look pretty effortless. He's got all the athletic ability in the world. He's become a pretty damn good three-point shooter. I think he's progressed from it. So you have a really good scorer, and now you've given him one of the better bigs who is still in the game when they brought in Vucevic, and now you made a couple more pieces in the offseason. Like, I think that they could easily make the playoffs. And this is a team who, I mean, I guess I pretty much since the Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose times, I mean, this team has been pretty bad for a pretty long stretch. Besides, I guess, again, besides like Tibbs and Butler having their times and Derrick Rose, like, this team probably wants to be good again. It's been a long time. So, and considering they are in the East, Chris, I don't see how this team wouldn't contend for a top 8 seed. I mean, obviously, we'll have to see how they gels a bunch. As we've said, just because you add pieces together doesn't mean they're always going to work. But I mean, DeRozan, Vucevic, LaVine, it seems like they've always been a young team.
Caruso,
just from the start.
Alex, yeah, Caruso, I mean, too.
And this is a team who has a bunch of young pieces. Like, LaVine almost is kind of a vet on that team, and he's not even that old, I would say, in basketball terms. So yeah, if you're a Bulls fan, this is the first time in a while we're like, shit, we might have something going on here. So, again, we'll see. The Hoiberg experiment failed, and it's been an up and down. But, yeah, I think this should be a playoff year for that team. And I think that if you give a guy like LaVine people around him, I think that his potential to become an even better scorer is going to excel, because you're not going to be able to double-team the guy or focus on him, because – I said, I'm not a huge fan, but I mean, when you watch the guy play, he has that rare ability in the NBA of him and probably 15, 20 other guys have, where he can take over the court for a night. So yeah, I would be optimistic that was a good signing, and probably something the Bulls haven't really done any moves like this. Chris, we always kind of have this end of the year, midsummer NBA free agency show, and I really don't recall us bringing up the Bulls for the handful of last season. So, yeah, optimism and I guess going the right direction for that team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how and what he does both off ball when it's DeRozan's night. Obviously, Lonzo's going to need the ball to be effective to an extent anyway, right? So off the ball, Zach, and then defense Zach, because, you know, defense Zach still really doesn't exist. I'm not going to sit here and say I watch WGN every night like I did for the Bulls games back in the day, but I know Zach's game because he was a Timberwolf, and as a back then a third of the big three, when he wasn't one, we talk about this with Paul George, right? When he was number one, he's a different ball game in Indiana, and then even when Kawhi was out, right? Now, Ken Zach, who's clear-cut the number one guy on his team, how's he going to do off ball? And then defensively, because that's part of it too, but to add DeRozan and Lonzo, who stepped up, speaking of improved three, like you mentioned with Zach, same with Lonzo. And so it even sometimes just bringing up the ball, setting up the offense and having Zach be able to jog down the court, stand around for a second, and then jet to a spot, get the ball, and do his thing. That actually helps throughout a season, throughout a game, and into the playoffs. So I do like what the Bulls did there. DeRozan will fill it up. You know, when he needs to, he can fill it up. A lot of people shit on his three-point game, but he's a damn good two-pointer. Let's put it that way. Now, Miami,
yes.
A good call with Kawhi, too. I did kind of think that he was going to go to Miami. And maybe, you know, without the injury, maybe he would have. And that would have been perfect because, like you said, Butler then can be the vocal leader. Leonard doesn't really want to be that, obviously. Never really has been that. So I really think that that would have been a good fit. But can't get Kawhi. Kyle Lowry, who wants to win now, who's a damn good, just a solid-ass player who could fill it up too. They did manage to keep Duncan Robinson. They did add Markieff Morris, who's just a solid role player, you know, been in the NBA for a while and in the playoffs. They did manage to have Oladipo stay put. Miami needs a bounce back based off how they got bounced out of the first round.
Yeah, and I think that with the coach you have, and I think Spoelstra is a top five coach in the league, and the players you've brought in, along with PJ Tucker, who, as we've seen, is one of those just bulldog guys that you just love to have on your squad, I think they'll come back. I think Tyler Hero had a sophomore slump, but I saw some dumb Twitter posts of if you wanted to get rid of guys or you've lost hope on people, like who would you pick out of this list? And he was on that list. I'm like, did people forget Tyler Hero 2 years ago? I've not given up on the guy. I think that he had a pretty effing good run his rookie year, and he did have a sophomore slump, but I don't think that guy is going to get any worse. And you still
and he's
have
not
Butler.
On a max deal or anything yet. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, having Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson is, I mean, those are two really, really talented players. And you could argue, or probably it's the fact that Bam Adebayo is better than both of them, and he hasn't reached his potential yet. And he's one of the most dynamic bigs in the whole game. So, this team is still sitting good. Then you bring in a vet like Lowry. I think that this team is going to be contending for the East. They weren't healthy all last year. And the other fact that people forget that I'll mention is the fact that I believe of the Elite Eight last year in the bubble, only one team made it to the Elite Eight this year. So that was just simply a side effect of, hey, you had a great bubble run. Well, holy shit, we're doing this again super faster than normal. And we had a crammed in season where teams were consistently playing 6 games in 8 nights. And the Heat were kind of a vet team. You kind of expected these teams, along with the Lakers and others, just to, you had a good bubble run. We're probably going to have to take it a couple steps back. And we didn't make it as far as we wanted to. That was kind of just a side effect that affected almost everyone. So, yeah, I would be buying stock again on Miami this year. I just think that they got too many good pieces with too much good coaching to have a season like they had last year. And again, we say that with they made the playoffs and were a decent seed. Now their playoff performance was pitiful, but yeah,
they did get beat by the champs.
Yeah. And you got beat by a team you were there bulletin board material, dartboard all year,
Right.
I would be ready to see the Heat make a nice run again. And again, if Bam Adebayo can develop more, that dude's going to be really, really scary to guard because his dribbling is insane for the height he has. I'd be up on them.
Yeah, I really like Lowry to take some pressure off Butler to be the playmaker at all times. Like I said, another key piece in May. I'm not saying key, oh my God, it's going to be so huge, but Morris is going to give you some minutes. He's also going to clothesline somebody too. And you need both those. So I think he fits in really well there. I've always liked his game as far as a role player anyway. John Collins, we talked about, he had such a great playoff series or playoffs in general, I should say, run postseason. And, we go back to Atlanta. Were they if they were whatever 10th or 9th or whatever March 1st, and it looked like, man, should we trade Collins because he might leave and this, that, that he signed back for a 5-year deal, $125 million. I think he's worth it. He's a damn good player. Another solid dude, Norman Powell returns to Portland for a healthy deal. So there was plenty of moves to be had. Kemba Walker buying out, signing with the Knicks, man. You know, the energy with the Knicks, you know, it was fun. It was fun to finally get the Knicks back into the fans and all that, even on NBA Twitter. Like, it's just fun. I got to admit, it's fun when the Knicks are good. It just hasn't happened much, right?
Sure.
But, you know, I think that Walker might be a better fit in this one. They had all these young stars, especially top two stars, and he kind of fit in as like the third. Well, I shouldn't say he fit in, but he was all of a sudden, hey, that's like the third wheel. And it, you know, it made sense off of Kyrie. You know, hey, if you're gonna lose Kyrie, this seemed like a good move. Obviously, he got traded, went to Oklahoma City, they got bought out. Do you think Kemba can kind of rejuvenate himself from these last two seasons? And one, you know, with the Knicks, because it sounds like he's going to sign. I don't think it's official, but that's who he's going to sign with. And two, I kind of feel like he fits in there real nice, dude, because it's like there'll be times, and we saw it in the playoffs, where it's like they just need somebody else to score here. They're already getting a lot out of players that maybe we didn't even know was this good, or at least good fit for this. Tips is just kind of, to me, like, hey, mother effers, I got you back. I like that they're going out. They had money. I don't know how long this deal's going to be, but it's out there. And if you couldn't, because there was no huge free agent besides Kawhi, like we mentioned, on the market. So this is a pretty good secondary consolation prize in the free agency.
Yeah, and I think if he's healthy, like a couple of years ago, like one of my buddies in my group chat loves Kemba, and I felt like I would be seeing videos of him like every other week, like of him just going off. Like, I think that if healthy, the guy still has potential to score 30 in a game and like have those nights where he's untouchable. But we've not seen that for a long time. So I guess if you're the Knicks, you're bringing in a guy who you hope can revert to some nights where he would carry Charlotte. And if he's healthy, I'm sure the guy still has the skill level there. I mean, I know he's a little bit older. He's not young by any means now. But if you have a healthy Kemba Walker and you pair him with Julius Randle, who last year you could pretty much argue carry that team on his back, and went further than expected. Like, okay, now yeah. Julius Randle has a helper, like someone, a side piece to help him just try to score. I mean, the sabermetric nerds who people love and hate, it kind of depends on the argument for basketball, said the shot charts and the shots he were making throughout last year were absolutely insane. And that was piled on top of the minutes he played. Like, what Julius Randle did last year was phenomenal and incredible, from where he made on the court, the shots he attempted, the shots he made, how he won games. And this was all kind of by himself, Chris. And he was playing right. A lot of times here to the end of the year, like 42 minutes a game, which, you know, is insane. So, hey, he gets a little help now. Like, how can't that help? So, yeah, I think this is a really nice acquisition for them. And if he's healthy, like, okay, if we were a 4-5 seed last year and we have get Kemba, like, okay, we could probably be a 4-5 seed again, hopefully, maybe in that same ballpark. And now we have some guys who, along with Julius Randle, will grow up and get better too. So, yeah, I think that was a good signing. And if it backfires and he can't get healthy again, you just assume they're not giving him, like, a crazy 5 or 6 year deal. So, right. You know, you try it out and you see how it happens. If it fails, you know, so be it. But, yeah, I think it's a pretty – I'm with you. I think it was a good decision at a pretty low-risk cost.
I really like Kemba. Maybe I'm biased to him, too. I mean, I admit that it wasn't a good fit in Boston. But, Yeah, I'm anticipating like a 3-year deal. So that, I mean, you know, I thought you broke down the Knicks perfectly, Marshall. And then you times that with a 7-game series. You know what I mean? And you're like, all right, we can really get to this team now. Because they were doing some shit that they're here and they earned it. They got their 4th seed, but it's they're not as good as a 4 seed per se. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I think having 7 games, they did start to get exploited week in or game in and game out when you could just focus on that and you could see it clear as day. And they needed a walker, no doubt about it. I mentioned earlier that it seems like Philly, for Ben Simmons, is asking for the sun, the moon, the stars. I heard they want to own like 25% stock of Amazon too. That's going to be part of the deal. Have you heard anything lately? Obviously me, you know, you and I aren't tuned in like that, but have you heard any chatter or anything getting closer? I do think it is going to be chopping down a big ass tree that has a lot of girth to it. This deal is going to take a while to get, and it may even go into, well, let's improve his free throw shooting or something, right? Or bring another shooter around or whatever, and then get him into the season. And then maybe his stock goes back up to where it was, and then you can trade him. What are they just kind of stuck with them, or what are you thinking here?
Well, I think the initial PR was like, okay, he's going to come to the gym, or we're going to work on his shooting. And it was one of those situations where I clearly no, you know, everyone's kind of got social media nowadays. So if you were a fellow GM in the NBA, you're like, all right, well, we want to trade you Simmons. Well, okay, well, we're going to ask for something. You know, you kind of lose your negotiation tactics when you, as the other GM knows, here's what you're getting. You're getting a point guard who's good at spreading the court and playing defense and can pass, but he's not a great shooter. So it kind of limits, you know, it's like you have a lot less power compared to if Philly said, hey, Joel Embiid's on the market. Well, holy shit. I'm like, okay, like we're listening, right? You know? So I don't know. I'm sure they probably want to trade him, and I'm sure you probably had the PR moments to say, hey, like, okay, guys, like, you know, you probably don't want to come out and you don't want to rip the guy because that makes you look less credible as an organization. So, yeah, I don't know. I would assume you'd want to try something different with how that ended, and I really doubt that Ben Simmons has been working out like crazy. Like in making his free throw shooting better, you know, just, I don't know, the guy just, he hasn't worked on for now. And this is the guy that went to LSU, and I know this is just, he's an employee player, but like the dude, like, never went to class. He was just happy to pretty much do his LSU basketball and get out. Like, so I don't think he's got the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant work ethic. I think that'd be fair to say, like, the dude's just not probably 24/7 in the gym all the time. So I think you probably want to trade him as an organization, but who are you going to trade him to, and what are you going to get for it? So, and that's probably a tough spot for that franchise to be in. I think that as a Philly fan base, you've been having, I would say, Chris, probably for the past 3 years, you've been expected to make a good run towards the finals. And I don't think you've really done that yet. I guess that Kawhi bounce definitely hurt, but
That was probably their best year.
Yeah, and I guess it'd be harsh to call that disappointment.
But still, I know what you're saying. They've been there now for a while.
Yeah, you're wanting to get to the you're wanting to get to the finals or have a really good conference finals approach. They've not been there yet, so I think a lot of people could say that Simmons is the reason why that's happened. And yeah, so I don't know. I would assume they probably would want to make that deal around the time of all these other moves, because the more that teams solidify all their free agents and their big pieces of signings, as you mentioned, like Chris Paul and Kawhi and all those people, like the more teams set up their stuff, the less chances there are of a trade, in theory. But yeah, I would assume they trade him. Just I don't think you want to try out the same thing. What does your gut say? Do you think he sticks around, or do you think they try to find some way to get him to a new home?
I think they're going to try to find a way, because I mean, unless Drummond's working on his 3-point shooter, his shooting, I don't know. Maybe he is, but I don't. I think they're going to trade him. I just think it's going to take some time, and that dude who's in charge now pulls some shit out of his ass. He just does. For better or worse, he can do it. He just does it. I think he's just getting a feel for it. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't doubt if it goes into the trade deadline. Maybe they do try to internally get him better and then put him back on the market. But I just think if you don't have shooters, it's so funny because even, you know, attacking it or looking at it from a Timberwolves perspective, right? You know, people are like, give them D'Lo and Beasley to get Simmons and then obviously multiple first round picks. Okay, the only problem is if you take away his shooters, what are we going to be left? You know, haven't we already seen this thing play out? If you don't have shooters around him, he's not as good a player as offensively. And right now in his head, you know, we talked about this during the playoffs. Before he'd have a rough game offensively, come back with 25. You know, that and the other. But it didn't. There was no comeback with 25 this time. And I'm having some major breakup here.
You there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I was having some kind of weird static go through my headset. That was weird. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
So I think they will. I think they'll have to, unless he just miraculously – really, honestly, forget the threes, obviously, right? It's done. I mean, he's young enough to where – he could Jason Kidd it and, you know, in his 12th year be okay at threes or something. Sure, I guess that's open. But other than that, just become a better free throw shooter. Honestly, if he just did that, then he wouldn't be so paranoid and throw into a double team rather than freaking reverse dunk it like he could have in that play that we all know of. So,
sure.
You know, I think they're going to pull it off. I just think it's going to take some time. And you know, there's no point in trading somebody at their lowest value. So yeah, that's what I think. Let's end the show. Obviously you always end the show in general. So if you have any other items you want to, you know, wrap it up with, that's cool. Late, you know, after we talk about the Lakers, but obviously the Lakers did two things. They got, you know, they traded to get Westbrook, which obviously there's pros and cons with some major. I mean, some nights it'll be huge pro, right? Other nights it could be a con. And we talk about May and June, which will actually be May and June this year, not July, for the playoffs. That's where I'm really interested. We talk about the seven games to focus on stuff in a series. That'll be interesting. And then they added role players. So the biggest thing here, really the last 2 years, I mean, the bench in the mix of players and also two bigs in the lineup, right? That's something that you don't see much anymore. And especially if neither of them are like knockdown three-point shooters like Towns or something from three, you don't see it as much, especially two like big bigs. You know what I mean? I do think it's good that they moved on Drummond. And it was worth whatever they did last year because of their scenario they were in. But I do actually like how they brought Howard back to be a role player. The two major things, though, these last 2 years is their offense and their shooting, right? The lack of shooters and then their half-court offense. And even 2 years ago when they won it, with this big lineup that people were like, huh, I don't know if this is going to work. They won the championship with a big lineup with a lot of criticism. Now, last year, they obviously – it's kind of incomplete, in my opinion, just because, you know, we knew LeBron wasn't healthy coming in. Down the stretch of the season, it was, you know, pretty bad. They ended up getting back to, like, 500 ball in that stretch, but – with AD and LeBron up, that was rough. Obviously, AD, I think he left the fourth game of that Suns, and then weren't in the last two. So it's a little incomplete, if we're being fair about it. Who knows? But they did add shooters. And so the two things that stand out with that offense, Marshall, is shooters and another playmaker. And even though Rondo was past his prime 2 years ago, still is, but can still give you valuable minutes, he was another playmaker out there that they needed. And you could see, and obviously him hitting some clutch threes out of nowhere in that series helped a lot too, right? So that kind of goes hand in hand. What's your thoughts here on bringing Westbrook and some of these role players in to kind of update and rearrange, you know, getting rid of Kuzma and a variety of guys?
I really don't think the shooters they brought in can be worse than the shooters they had last year. I mean, I watched a handful of games where if LeBron and AD weren't scoring, you were just seeing three after three get chucked up and bricked. And the three-point shooting was horrendous.
Corner,
that was
right, Marshall? Oh, like, yeah. They'd even get the corner three and couldn't hit it.
And you're talking about a guy in LeBron who is still one of the better passers of all time and still gets defenses drawn towards him. And Anthony Davis obviously requires a lot of attention, too. So it's not like these guys were, like, jacking up threes as they had, like, you know, elite defenders cover them. Like, this was just a shitty offense that didn't look good all year. You just, like, luckily had two of the best seven offensive players, however you want to view that, in the league. So, I think that new pieces can't hurt. I do think it'll be really interesting to see how Westbrook and AD work together. AD really is more of a, like, let me slow down, let me post up half court offense kind of guy. And obviously LeBron's going to take a sweet time if he wants to, or drive to the rack, and they kind of feed off each other really well. But Westbrook was kind of more of a running gun. That's why his numbers are so good with Beal. And I thought him and Beal fed it off each other really well, because Washington would run as fast as hell, and that fed right into Westbrook. And now you're going to go to a team who I would say traditionally it's pretty damn strong of a half-court offense. And how will that fit? Or will you kind of like, I mean, obviously you're going to want them on the court together. I get that you can space them out here and there, but I'm sure the Lakers' intention, Chris, of the signing was to have all three on the court together. I think you're going to have to make a decision on, are we going to be a little more up-tempo? Or are we going to be half court? And I think if you're half court, I think that is to the downfall of Westbrook. And if you're going to be up tempo, is that something LeBron and AD want to do on a given time? So how will they mesh offensively? Who knows? But you are adding a guy who is going to fill up the stat sheet in some way. Like, he's going to give you effort. He's going to play his ass off.
He's going to steal a rebound from you on your own team.
Yeah. He's gonna give you the effort you want. I just want to know how they'll mesh it together, because, like I said, it was really, really traditional, slow half-court offense last year, and you're bringing in a guy who plays the polar opposite way. So aside from that, the additional role players they brought in, again, can't be worse. Literally can't be worse than they were last year. So if you're a Laker fan, that has to be a plus. You think, holy shit, we can't shoot the threes worse. We got new people. Let's give them a shot. And if it does work out, then we'll try it again, because LeBron's got a handful of years left in him. Let's try to get a few more rings. But yeah, the role players really can't do much more negative than they did last year, Chris.
Well, and people were saying that the year before too, and they ended up winning the chip. So it's going to be interesting. Part of that slowdown, first of all, they didn't play as slow the year before, right? Not nearly as slow. Now, it wasn't a thing of beauty on offense, but, you know, I think when you're trying to establish the post, a lot of times that's not going to be as pretty as we're what we're normally seeing now in the last 5, 6, 8 years of NBA basketball. So I think that plays into it a little bit. But, true. You know, Drummond was also in that lineup down.
He's there. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you back now. Yeah.
All right. I don't know if it's a storm or what. It's raining really heavy all of a sudden, but I don't know. Anyway, let's just try to get through this show. But Drummond was also there down the stretch too, which obviously is going to do what? Slow your ass down, right?
True.
The year before, they did play faster. So I think you make a great point about that. Russ likes to go. You know, AD can go fast for a bit.
True.
He can move.
You're right.
For a bit,
he can.
You know? And
absolutely.
Throughout
he
a
did
season.
New Orleans.
Right. Yeah, good point. And LeBron can go both. Now, during a season, you are going to see him walk down the court because he's learned how to protect his body, but he's not going to do that in May as much, right?
Sure.
But when I look at what Russ, I think I've heard people say, well, you know, they're going to sacrifice the regular season. I push back at that because to have Russ, you know, everyone's going to have a turn to be the man. And now you could put AD and LeBron. Let's face it, when LeBron's on the bench, it's not a good thing most teams he's been on. But with this, then all of a sudden Westbrook is like, I'll take over. You know I will, you know. And so to me, whether it's injury, whether it's night to night, back to backs, whatever, you know, there are going to be some nights where AD just rests because of four games, six nights, or same with LeBron. Then Russ can freak out, you know. So I think during the regular season, I think it really helps them. Matchup wise, let's see. But they had, now it doesn't mean they're going to shoot this percentage this year, these players, but they now have four players that shot 40% or better from three last year. And that's something. And it's funny because I'm starting to hear the opposite now, Marshall. Well, now they're not going to be good at defense. Well, they got an offense now. Now that it's like, hold the fuck on, dude. You got AD, you got LeBron, and then you take your pick, Trevor Ariza as a role player defense that Horton Tucker can defend. Like, defense, they're not going to be a poor defensive team. I got news for you. They're just not. So, and I also like the Drummond was desperation last year because AD was out. And who knows if AD comes back healthy and all that. And it was a buyout and they got, you know, it didn't kill them. They just signed them. You know, they didn't lose anything really majorly out of it or nothing like that. But I like Howard back just to block shots and rebound. Sometimes he played a fair amount of minutes. Sometimes he didn't. You know what I mean? So it's off the matchup. But a Trevor Ariza, like I mentioned, that Horton Tucker for me came on as a good role player. Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn. We're not even talking about Melo, who shot a career-high three. Now, he may not start, but, you know, a couple years ago, remember that joke at the press conference, they want me to come off the bench. Well, now he's come off the bench, and now he's looking for a chip. So I like these pieces. Okay, Melo can go off for 14 in this quarter randomly. Monk can freaking run up and down. Bazemore, another player that could do something. And that's the thing that we talked about. Like, okay, so when LeBron's off or banged up or on the bench, that's when stuff goes wrong. Same with AD. But, you know, I do want to see in May Westbrook in the starting lineup, right? How is that? That's worth talking about, but he won't have to carry as much. And like you mentioned, he played well with Beal. I think people are forgetting he led the league in assists. So we're not bringing in some guy that's just he is a volume shooter. Don't get me wrong, but he can do other stuff. I mean, a couple years ago, Paul George had an MVP type season with him. Regular season, let's mention that. Beal went for 30 last year every game, right? More than 30, I think. So to say he can't coexist, now back when he used to just ball hog with Durant, that's when he wasn't a triple-double guy, actually. He wasn't leading the league in assists then. And that's what the problem was. Well, hey, dude, if you're not helping your team, then you are starting to have the ball sucked to you, and there are going to be nights he's going to need 20 shots or whatever. But I really like it. I think, and Russ still has that energy. He's on the downside of his career, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. But he's going to be, well, he's returning home, which is a little kind of cool story. There is that Clipper thing too, Marshall, because remember, they didn't want his ass. So it's kind of interesting, and I like what they did. They now have a variety of players to go to regardless who they're playing, and that's what the playoffs are all about.
Yeah, and I think, like I was saying, LeBron's got, I would roughly say, 3-4 years left of being just the robot star that he is. So, and obviously, you know, he'd love to get 6 rings like that. Then you could just go back to the Jordan argument, which we can always have. But for all the LeBron haters, which appears to be half our country, who are NBA fans, then your options become less and less as to ways you can take shots at the guys. So, yeah, I think the Lakers, clearly they want to retool. They know they still have a bunch of really talented players, and why not try a couple new pieces? And hell, if you watched Melo, he was having nights there with Portland where he was looking just fine.
He worked his way into the lineup, into the starting lineup.
Yeah, with him, McCollum and Lillard, you want to talk about a guy that can shoot threes. If he's on, he will make up for a lot of shitty shooting. I mean, he did in the playoffs against Denver, his old team. Like, so yeah, and I'm not a Laker fan, but I definitely think that they will be a strong favorite again next year. And if healthy, they'll be a very hard team to contend with. I mean, that just goes without saying. But yeah, I think the Westbrook thing surprised people at first, but I don't think anyone really saw that coming. I think it should work when you combine that much talent. It should. Again, time will tell, Chris, but I think that was a pretty good acquisition by them. And again, for LeBron's like, dude, come on, let's go. We got a few more chances here. Come on now. Let's give it a shot. So yeah. Besides that, I think though, I guess the only other news that didn't happen was, for now, Lillard still in Portland. Like, that would have been a huge, probably the start of our podcast today, if he'd left.
Yeah, if he went to the Knicks or something, that would have been huge.
Yeah, and to give the guy credit, and he's always been a man of his word, like, he's one of those guys that said, I love Portland, it's my city, I'd love to win a ring there, I'm not going to go chasing, and just try to help me out. But in fairness, people are allowed to change their opinion. And when you put in a lot of hard work for a company, no matter what job you have and you've earned your right, you are allowed to leave. And he's still stuck it out there. Like, he's still giving it a shot. But I got to imagine a couple more years, we might be starting off this podcast of our NBA summer fun of Lillard leaving somewhere. Because, I mean, that dude is literally done all he can. So I hope that, and I've always liked the guys, can't help it, but I hope he does find a way to compete a little bit more, because I'm just a fan. So for now, he's still there, and they'll probably be a playoff team again. But if you're a Portland fan, and speaking of Melo left, now it's kind of, well, we got McCollum and Lillard again, and we're kind of back to square one. And I feel we've given that speech with this team, Chris, since almost you and I have been friends. I know Lillard wasn't quite there when we met, but it's been about that. It seems like that long. So we'll see. Because I guess my last point to wrap this up is that, again, if you look in the West where Portland does play, it's been another offseason where a lot of teams have really just continued to get better. Besides Oklahoma City, who is currently in rebuild mode along with Houston, your Wolves have a star in Edwards with Towns. And so pretty much besides Houston and Oklahoma City and Sacramento, every team is getting better or getting good or growing younger pieces. So
yeah,
I think the West will be a lot more fun this year. I mean, Memphis is going to be super good with the young stars they have. Your Timberwolves now have young stars. You'd assume, you know, the Jazz should be good again this year. The Lakers should be. The Clippers
they were
should
the
be
number
good.
One seed. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Clippers will and be I good. Mean, yeah, you're right. It's deep.
Yeah,
Denver. I mean, we didn't even mention
if you're a
Denver.
Nuggets fan, get Murray back. And Golden State, they missed the playoffs last year, but if Klay's healthy, you have Steph, Klay, and Dre, they should be contending for a spot. So, I mean, the West really is a lot of fun. And I would say Sacramento, and I liked them when they were back in the day with Divac and Bibby. But until Sacramento makes the playoffs, it really doesn't do us any good to mention that team being good. Because shit, it just hasn't happened since we have been friends. So time will tell for them. But the West is going to be a lot of fun this upcoming year, and it's only getting better. So on that note,
once you get out of here,
we will be going to college football here soon. I know that football means the end of summer, which is sad in some ways, but also it's great because your weekends get to be more fun. I'm a huge sports fan, and my baseball team gave up on the year, so my Saturdays and Sundays aren't quite that fun right now. So I'm looking forward to football, and Chris and I will have a college football podcast where we break down the games, make predictions. It's pretty much what we do for basketball. It's just we get to go week by week, and the college football regular season, for now, until this playoff kicks off, is always one of the most fun seasons to cover. So don't forget about us. We'll be back in college football starts in a month. So we will be back with our college football. We normally do like a one or two playoff, or I should say season previews. We kind of look at the top 10, talk about teams, talk about conferences, take some shots at the Pac-12. And then before you know it, you get going into college football of 14 weeks of a lot of fun to break down there too. So as always, we appreciate your support. Again, we'll be back with college football sooner than later. And I hope you all have a great summer. Enjoy time with your family. Stay safe. And the boys are out tonight. Peace.